You are listening to the Life Is Not Complicated, You Are podcast with your host, best-selling author, motivational speaker, youth advocate, philanthropist, and multi-award-winning film and television producer, Carlos Wallace.
And furthermore, I'm just saying.
No. Let's talk.
What?
Get off your soapbox.
I'm on the soapbox. I was on the soapbox last week. You cut me off, so I promised myself when we got back on, I was going to pick up where I left off.
I have a producer that I have to listen to.
Whatever.
And we are on a tight time frame. Listen, they're not going to be charging
that
me
producer,
extra.
Producer fired. You fired. I'm sorry, Colin. I'm just joking, Colin. You see the look on his face?
She come on my show.
I'm sorry, boo. You're not fired. But no.
Firing my staff.
Because Colin reminded me where I picked up from last week. He kept notes. So
I got
kudos
you, brother.
To you,
I got
Papa.
I got you, bro.
But listen. You and I have always had this conversation. When I go out and I'm just like, man, if that was me, or, you know, let somebody step to me. And if I had to do it myself, it would be this way. It would be that way. Da, 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 da. And then you just shake your head and you just like, Until.
Yeah.
Until you have to spend the night in the holding cell.
Miss, I got to have at least 1,000 thread count sheets.
Right? Yeah, I can't do jail. I can't do prison. My thread sheet count is way too high.
Man, you can't take a dump in front of people.
I cannot. Oh.
Well, guess what?
Okay, that's just TMI
Well, guess what? Ugh. Your toilet would be right there. Everybody uses the same one.
Oh, no.
And you know what's at the top
that's
of the toilet? A
nasty.
Water fountain.
Okay, I can't even, oh my God, just the visual of it. But you know what? You know what they talk about, scared straight? And we saw a lot of that with the aftermath of the people just storming, the stormtroopers that breached the Capitol, how all these people came in with all this bravado. We had G.I. Jane, we had G.I. Joe. Everybody came in armed to the teeth. You know, they were flying their flags, and oh, they were oh so tough, bragging about it on social media, posting pictures,
stupid.
Videos, stealing,
stupid,
coming out, beating their chests. And then when them laws, how you say it?
When them laws showed up. When them alphabet boys showed up,
you saw the tears and you saw the begging and you saw the pleading.
But look how stupid these people are. They going to use their own social,
their own
Facebook
social
and Twitter
media.
Against them during the trial.
Pictures and so on and so forth. And
they got one guy saying, we're in the Capitol. So when he pleaded not guilty.
Right.
So when they play that in court, say, sir, did you penetrate the walls of the Capitol? I plead not guilty. Roll the tape.
We're in. They're going to have it on a loop.
Is that not you?
We're
That's
in.
Your Facebook account. That's the camera reverse face with you on it,
mm-hmm.
flagging others. Is that not you?
Son.
You go in there, plead temporary insanity or something.
Everybody's a gangster until some gangster stuff show up.
Hey, let me tell you something.
And you say that all the time.
Let me tell you something.
Because you have had firsthand experience.
Let me tell you
this.
Something. I worked on Texas death row.
Mm.
I have seen, witnessed,
right,
with my eyes. Shout out to Will Sylvans with
right.
my eyes. The toughest person cry.
Yeah, man.
You know, I talk to those guys a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just you on the cell block, and you kind of get to know them. You know what I mean? Separate and apart from whatever it is they're charged with,
because
you never say what they did. You just say what they're charged with.
Okay.
And you get to know them in regards to their mother, because they're human, man. Like they got a mom, they got daughters, they got wives, sometimes ex, but. They have people just like you and I, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so one guy that I talked to a lot, I went by his cell one day. Well, as they say, I went by his house.
Because they refer to it as
Yeah. So I went by his house, and he was crying. And this guy, you've never seen a collection of people that was so positive. Like Death Row inmates are just positive guy. Because I think at that point they just appreciate being alive. You know what I mean? So I go by a cell and he was crying. And I said, I don't want to say his name, but I said, yo, you good, man? We're like, what's wrong? He's like, man, my daughter's husband beat up. And I'm just torn apart because I wasn't there to defend her. Mm. There was nothing I could do. The smallest things like that.
Their humanity.
I got four daughters.
You're a father.
Four daughters, not daughters. Daughters.
Daughters.
And they call me girl dad.
They do. Each and every one.
So every one of them. If I'm ever in a position, other than sickness, mm-hmm. that I can't defend them,
yeah.
would just destroy me. Now, if it was because of some foolish act, like breaking the windows of the Capitol, because a man told me he lost an election and it was stolen. So I'm going to penetrate the walls of the most sacred institution in America.
On some baseless.
On some baseless. For a guy I don't even know. I've never met. Right. I may have bumped into and took a picture with. But I don't know him. He don't know me.
You're going to commit a crime.
I'm going to commit a felonious act.
And be labeled an anarchist.
An anarchist and a traitor.
And a traitor.
And go to prison, whether it be 6 months, 6 years, or 60 years, and place my girls, including you, and my wife, in a position where they have no protection, would just tear me apart because I acted a fool. Mm. Just stop and think about that.
I'm wrapping my brain around it, but more importantly, I'm hoping anybody who's listening, mother, father, sister, just any of our listeners right now, takes a moment, replays what you just said, whatever they need to do to let that sink in before you make a move.
Yeah. Now jokingly, I asked you, I said Liz, I just want to know what they told their wives. Like, how do you go home and tell your wife? And my boy Harold, he made an even a better point. Uh-huh. He said, how do you take a day off work just to go lose your job? You took a day off to go commit a crime live on TV to lose your job. Like, and I ask you, I say, how does a husband come home and tell his wife, I lost my pension, our benefits,
right,
and my job, and by the way, and I'm also facing prison time. How do you tell your wife that?
You don't tell her as a man, and you don't come home, and you change your appearance and your identity, and you move far, far, far away. Mm. Witness protection, if you can find it.
I'm gonna need it
because there's no way that conversation is going to go well. There's no form of understanding.
But what I want people to do is think about that,
that will follow.
Prior to.
And that, and
when
that's
I say
what
Liz,
I was saying.
Liz, yeah. I'm going to catch the Estella from New York down to D.C.
I was like, Estella? I'm like, who's Estella? Acela.
Acela, you know, the Amtrak.
You get into that age where you're going to mispronounce stuff.
Yeah, yeah, that's funny too. I'm gonna get on this Estella, the 710 right. departure, and I'm going, and I'll be in DC about 9:40, and meet some of my other red hat buddies,
right?
And we're about to go take our country.
You're going
back.
MAGA hard, yeah.
So what do you say as I get related? Well, baby, be careful
with the accent.
Or you say, fool, what are you talking about?
Have you lost your damn mind?
Well, you say that all the time. You ask me that every day.
Have you lost every bit of your mind?
But you got to come up with something extra because you ask me that every day.
Oh, I have to drive it home.
I got me two red hats and we're going to D.C. and make America great.
Uh-huh.
I'm going on the 710 Estella.
Right. Right. Well, I don't know what America you about to make great. But the America I live in here is just fine. It's and all right. I want it to stay that way. So what you need to do.
But
is
I got to go defend. I got down. To go defend right. our honor. This election was stolen from Mr. Trump.
Would you rather defend the honor of a man you don't even know or have to deal with me for the rest of the day?
But baby, it ain't life? Right. If they're taking it, it's today is the election. Tomorrow they're gonna be freezing our bank accounts and telling us we gotta give all our money to poor people. Cause that's what they trying to turn this
Clarence? Who gonna do that, Clarence? Who? Give me names. I want names. I want proof. I want.
Well, I ain't thought written. That far ahead.
Yeah, no. Well, okay. Well, I'm thinking that far ahead and even further. And I'm also thinking behind because apparently you didn't give this any forethought, prethought, afterthought. So I want to know.
Well, I got to go now. I done bought this Estella ticket. So
who the hell is Estella? So you going out there to meet a woman. That's what it is. Oh. You talking about you going out there to make it MAGA hard, make the country greater. So who's this Estella? Because she going to catch these hands. Oh. And that's when you say, but when you get brought up on charges of assault because you done gave Estella those hands, are you going to be able to deal with the time that you spend in jail?
No, man. But yeah,
so the same way, you know, and all jokes aside,
I just wish they would think about that before.
That's how things go completely awry.
Because I'm here to tell you, I've seen the biggest, baddest, toughest guys cry in prison. I've seen the most hateful white supremacist be best friend with a black Muslim. Because in prison, you have no gun. I've always said the guy that needs the gun, he's a coward anyway. Right. But guess what? When you get to prison, you don't have a gun. You don't have your little buddies to you know, your little circle. You up, right? No, yeah. It's just you.
Your goon squad.
All you have is what God gave you for your protection.
Left and right.
And I've seen the biggest, toughest, hardest when they get there. Because, you know, working on death row, there are some trials that if they were high profile, they carry out on the media, on the news. So, and there was one inmate particularly, he was a Spanish kid. He killed two young girls.
Right.
And every time he was, you know, at court, he was spitting on journalists and, you know, tell the judge to F you. And he was just acting an idiot. And this kid, he's in his early 20s. When he got to death row, he was begging for his mom. Because those death row inmates, they don't like that because they know society already view them as savages.
Right.
So they want their character, anytime the camera's on, to be on their best behavior. And so when he was there doing all those crazy acts, they don't like that because it says America or people in general start to think we're all like that. When he got to death row and, you know, a couple of threats on his life. So they had to put him in isolation because there were death row inmates that wanted to kill him. And he was scared. He crying every night. Scared somebody going to put something in his food. Scared that when he go to the shower, the guard going to turn and look the other way. Like, yeah, it becomes different when you behind those walls. And he was a gang member, but his other members weren't there with him.
And you talk about you've seen the extreme aspects of incarceration.
Sure.
You just think about, we're not even asking people to take it to that level. The loss of freedom.
Yeah, listen, I have
somebody tell you when.
Listen,
where,
here. I have
how,
a very good friend of mine, Jeremy Busby.
Jeremy.
He's incarcerated right now.
I was hoping we could talk about him today.
And he's incarcerated right now, 23 years.
I was hoping we could talk about
him. For a crime he did not commit. Yes. And you know, me and my team are working vigorously to get this overturned.
Which is something I think a lot of people don't know about.
Well, because I don't talk about it.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know what? Well, I'm happy you're talking about it today. And, you know, I didn't want to broach it because, again, this is something that has been very dear to your heart. You have been going,
4 years.
4 years.
4 years on this.
Without fail.
Yeah.
There hasn't been a month or a week where you're like, you know what? I'm tired of this. I don't want to do it.
No.
You and Jeremy are close. You're like you forge,
like, we for real, like brothers,
such a bond.
Yeah, we're for real, like, and brothers, man.
And I'm proud of you for a lot of things, obviously, but to watch your commitment to and your love for him, it moves me and it inspires me. I've come to care deeply for him.
You writing him letters.
You know, I am. I believe in his cause. I believe in you. So your experience has shown me, again, a different vantage point. You know, this man, his life
was taken away. But I want to make my point before I forget. Mm-hmm. Jeremy, you know, as you know, he called me last week.
Yeah.
Every time I've ever been in contact with Jeremy, mm-hmm. be it in person, on the phone, through a letter, like, what, he has always been the most positive person.
Upbeat, like, faithful.
Always, man. And to answer that phone the other day and he was crying, like, I literally, I mean, you saw me. I was tore up when I hung up, because I knew for him to have tears, it had to be very serious. Mm-hmm. And his biggest fear was they was transporting him from one prison to another. And his biggest fear was contracting coronavirus.
Mm-hmm. And no explanation.
Yeah, no explanation. They just woke him up. Hey, you transporting. And usually the way that works, they'll tell you and they'll say, hey, you're going to be on the chain bus in the morning. So they give you all night to pack up. They went to him and said, hey, you're going to be on the chain bus in an hour. He's like, what I do? Like, because usually when a person does that, it's because they have gang affiliations. So they're trying to separate them, or they're troublemakers. And he's none of that. Like, he's been a leader everywhere, you know.
Right.
So his biggest concern, like, was that, man, I don't want to get this cold. He said he always this COVID-19, Los. He's like, man, be on that bus, in a van. He said no ventilation, and you got these
close quarters, people on top of each other type situation.
And he said, and you got guys in here that don't believe that the virus is real. No, they don't wear a mask, and he was really crying because that was his biggest fear.
Rightfully so.
But my point I'm making. Is your stupid act worth the prison system controlling your life?
Yeah.
Something all the way down to putting you in a van with another person that won't wear a mask.
And of course, you're speaking in general terms, because not saying that he's in there for a stupid act.
No. I'm saying the ones that busted into the Capitol.
No, I wanted to yes. make that clear.
I'm talking about the ones that's breaking windows at the Capitol or trampling a cop, hitting a cop with a fire extinguisher for somebody you don't know.
Right.
With these false allegations.
Or just everyday interactions.
Son.
With people of authority or people on the street
that cut you off in traffic,
in the store, somebody that cut you off in traffic,
or it ain't worth it,
that's
man.
Online at the supermarket with you that says something or looks at you in a way that you're not happy with. It escalates into,
it ain't worth it, man.
You know, hand to hand, and now you're going to prison for assault because you wanted to buy some bread and some cookies.
Not worth
and somebody
it.
Somebody looked at you wrong. It's not
something prison worth guards it. Used to say when I worked. We're incarcerated too for 8 hours. When you go, when you enter the crash gate by the control picket, the control picket is where the person is sitting that has the buttons to push, and they got the camera monitors all over the prison. That's the control picket.
Okay.
That's where you enter. When you enter the prison, it's a double cell.
Right.
So in the case somebody get out of one, they can't get out of the next one. But when you enter that,
it locks.
And it closes. You in there just like an inmate, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so you have a different view of this this thing, right? So it's like you just tend to look at life different. Like, man, I don't ever want to land here, you know. But before I get off of Jeremy, like, because I understand, it's one thing to be there for something that you did, right? Mm-hmm. And you got 2, 3, 4, 5, 20 years, however many, to think about. Man, I wish I'd have done that different. Mm-hmm. I wish I'd have handled it different.
I wish I had thought that out more. Mm-hmm.
But what the hell do you think about when you're in there for something you didn't do?
You've been, all you want to do is prove you didn't do it so you could have your life back and your freedom back. You think about this constantly, every single moment.
Yes.
That yep. you're awake.
That's correct. Hell, sometime in a dream too. And I want to clarify, when I met Jeremy, I was on a speaking tour in prisons. Mm-hmm. And when I met him, it was never my intention to get him out. Like, that's prior to that day, I didn't even know who he was. Mm-hmm. Right. And so in talking to him in that first year, I was kind of reluctant. You know, I said, man, I never want to be, because in criminal acts, my sympathy always go to the victims.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Sure. Mm-hmm. And you know, like there's cases where an assailant does something like domestic violence. Mm-hmm. And because the cops handled him wrong or whatever, all the charges are dropped. And I'm like, but what about the woman he beat up? You know what right. I mean? My mind is always about the victim. You know what I mean? So they would rather drop all the charges than charge the damn cop for what they did. Mm-hmm. No, charge the cop too.
Right.
You know, so I don't want to be a part of trying to help someone, you know, get free that was wrong. Mm-hmm. So I had to spend the first year looking into his case myself. Now, I didn't tell him that, but I'm doing my due diligence, looking at the evidence, looking right. at the statement, the victim state, I mean, the witness statements and whatnot. And upon finishing, I say, man, this dude is in jail for nothing. From the witnesses that they have, they high, they, you know, they're on crack and that, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm like, this makes no sense.
Right.
This makes no sense. Literally, there's a witness statement and they said this is the one that convicted them, that she witnessed Jeremy shooting the guy in the chest. And a medical report clearly says he was shot in the back. Like, I'm like, right. how the hell do
those
you.
Those discrepancies are just so glaring.
And that's the key witness? Come on, man. We. Now, the judicial system, I would say, it is broken.
Right.
It is. Like, it's just because it's about who has the
and
most money.
I don't think you're alone in that assessment by any stretch.
Well, you have some people that complain that they think the amount of time was too much for whatever that person did. I don't debate that because I'm like, well, just don't do crime, man.
Right.
But there are cases when it comes down to a person being incarcerated just because they didn't have the money to have, you know, attorney to prove that they didn't do it. Mm-hmm. That to me, that's horrible. That's just terrible, man. And when you have public defendants,
when you talk about inequity, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
With regard to what you just said.
Sure.
Yeah.
And when you have public defendants, caseload is so heavy. And the county in which they're residing has no money. And so they can't get any type of assistance mm-hmm. or court clerks to, you know, research and investigators to do. It's like, it's not fair. Yeah. It's not a fair process. That has to be fixed.
Yeah.
That has to be fixed.
I agree.
I mean, we need more participation. Mm-hmm. So for those of you that dodge jury duty, quit doing that. We need more participation. Because if I get charged, I want to look at my peers.
Be part of the process.
Sure. Yeah. I've served jury duty. Well, I've never well. Been picked.
I have. It's
it sucks.
I don't know. I didn't find that it sucked.
But you can be a part of a case that last, like the OJ case, that damn thing lasted a year, 6-8 months. Those people, yeah. like as a railroader, I made pretty good salary.
Mm-hmm. And then to be pulled off that, to be paid that stipend that they you give know, you.
In Texas, it's $6 a day.
Wow.
But the railroad makes up the difference and pay us what you call a basic day. Mm-hmm. A basic day is like the lowest you'll make with the railroad. Mm-hmm. And at the time, you know, $185, $200 a day. But as an engineer, I can make $500 a day.
Right.
So if I'm on a case for 8 yeah. months,
yeah.
you see what I'm saying? That's a sacrifice of a lot of pay. But I have to keep in mind.
But my experience was not as time consuming. Or,
but you, yeah, no. Neither was, well, I've never been picked, but I'm just saying in the event.
Yeah.
that you're chosen.
I was. I thought it was fascinating.
Was it? It was like one day, two.
No, it was about 3 weeks.
See, now did you get to come home every day?
I did.
See, now imagine it being 3 months and right. You're in a hotel ordering from a menu with 5 items on it. Yeah. You can't watch TV. You can't communicate with none of your family members. Oh, no. That's tough. That's a lot of sacrifice. Mm-hmm. But I have to keep in mind, if I'm the one charged, I want to look and see a jury of my peers. So in order for that to happen.
Which is your right.
Well, but I need y'all to participate.
Yeah.
Because they say it's my right. But when I look across there, I don't want to see 12 people with red hats on. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So for that to happen, we have to collectively participate. And I say that to say this. For those of you listening, imagine yourself being the one charged. When you look at that jury of 12 or 6, whichever one you decide, what do you want to see?
Right.
Even if you say, well, I just want a trial by judge. What judge do you want to see? You want to see a judge that's part of the
process, too.
You want to see a judge that's fair and equal or that has some, sympathy for your condition,
because that in somehow some way is enabled by your vote.
Absolutely, you've every judge that's making they voted
your vote.
Absolutely, so yes. you keep all of that in mind when
you think it doesn't matter, your vote doesn't count. There's nothing that your vote could do that will affect you in any way, shape, or form. It does.
For those of you that no longer get to claim your house interest on your income tax. Tell me votes don't matter.
Thank you.
When people last year, what did your tax, your CPA guy, when you went in?
Oh, my God.
You had to pay in. And he said, oh, Liz, that's nothing.
Yeah, he did. And I was shell-shocked by what I had to pay, because that's something that I had not had to do for many years because of my profession. And, you know, he looked at me and he was just like, not taking away from, you know, the fact that you do have to write us a check, but the woman that left before you has to write a $15,000 tag.
Now I want to put it in context.
$15,000.
To be an anchor, it costs a lot of money.
Absolutely.
How many outfits you have to buy? Like, pay a makeup artist. Like it costs a lot of money, right?
Makeup, grooming, clothes, you know, transportation, if I'm going back and forth to assignments, so on. I got to put in for that. Some of that stuff comes out of my pocket.
And some stuff they pay back, some stuff they don't. In previous years, you were able to claim that on your tax.
That's right.
But last year.
I was not. And I expected it because, you know, I try my best, especially with the work that I do, to keep track of, you know, my deductibles.
No, you do a good job. Yeah, no, you do a good job.
And I knew it.
And I was shocked because Liz ain't the most organized person.
I really am not.
but she keep up. She keep up their little monies.
My monies. Don't play with my monies. Do not mess with my little change, if you will. But no, I kept up with my spreadsheets. I always do with my receipts and so on and so forth. And when I got there and he went through the with the little calculator to make a little noise. And then he showed me the paper of what I'm getting versus what I owed. I was like, nah, son, I think you might have given me someone else's tax return. And he was just like, no, Liz, I'm sorry to tell you.
Yep.
And again, like you said, the period on the end of that sentence, the punctuation mark on the end of that thought process is vote.
Tell me your vote don't matter.
Vote. Because it clearly was because of the actions of the administration that were in place at that time.
And not just Trump. The fact that he had a Senate House that he could push that through.
Right. Exactly. But all of it matters. And the way you think about things matter. And I kind of want to take this the seconds that we have left to say, Jeremy, we think about you all the time. And, you know, we are always working on your behalf. But this man, not looking for glory, not looking for fame, not crying foul in the sense of being a whiner, would go at it by himself if he had to. Thank sure. goodness he doesn't have to.
Cause well, he did for quite some time.
He did for,
and
for,
he said before yeah. he met me, he's like, man, I spent hours in the law library. I did this, this.
Educating himself.
And let me say this. Jeremy makes it easy for me to do my job.
Right.
He makes it easy when I talk to lawyers and lawmakers mm-hmm. because of the character he has.
Right.
And the research and intelligence. Mm-hmm. He makes it easy. I never have to make an excuse right. for him.
But here's an example of a man who could be rebellious, who could go on a rampage. Who could spew hate speech
nope.
and criticisms and object,
nope.
you know, objectify the process. He's in there. He's thinking rationally.
Yep.
He is, you know, putting all his ducks in a row, gathering a team, and doing it the right way.
Yep.
And I truly believe with all the faith in my heart, because of the work that he's putting in and you're putting in and that team is putting in,
mm-hmm.
we will see vindication.
Oh, well, sure. Soon.
Soon.
Yeah, soon.
You know, and you know what? I encourage everyone to just do your research on this gentleman. Like he inspires me daily. And I don't say that just, you know, just a random thought at the end of a podcast. I look to people like him daily to inspire me, to motivate me. His name is Jeremy Busby. You'll find yep. him online. Dude.
If you need more information, go to contact me, man, for the information.
That's right.
Joinjeremy.com.
Yep.
But yeah.
All right. I think that's a good positive note to leave it on.
Yeah.
Right.
I just want to say thank you. It is a 3-parter. And I can't wait to listen to it myself.
Yeah, it was pretty dope. It was pretty dope. Thank you, sir.
Stream Life is Not Complicated. You Are. And The Other 99 Times. Train your mind to enjoy serenity. On Tidal, Spotify, and Audible today.
For more about Carlos, please visit www.carloswallace.com.